Glacier Raft Company has been offering fishing guide service since it started up in 1976.
Fishing is a big part of our business anymore.
Darwin Stoneman is one of the original owners of the West Glacier-based business.
We also have cabins and a retail operation and rent rafts and rent all kinds of gear that people can take into the park or go fishing with.
The company guides predominantly on the middle and north forks of the Flathead River.
Well, the primary fish in the river and the what the river is really managed for is West Slope cutthroat, which, you know, is the native species, and, you know, they're pretty specific to a few drainages here in the northwest.
Stoneman says anglers will occasionally catch bull trout, but they're not allowed to target them. He says the rivers had a large population of bull trout until about 10 or 15 years ago. Bull trout were listed as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act in 1999. Stoneman says over the years, he's been seeing the overall fishing in the North and Middle Forks improve.
For one thing, in 1964, you know, there was a huge flood which basically scoured the river. I think that had some effect on the fishing because it, you know, it either swept away or, you know, maybe took away some of the habitat for the fish, especially the cutthroat. So, you know, when I started fishing here in the mid-70s, you know, there was always a lot of small cutthroat.
Stoneman says over the years, the size of the fish they're catching has been growing. He credits people starting to catch and release the cutthroat instead of catch and keep, Hungry Horse Dam mixing its water so the water released isn't too cold, timing dam releases to more closely mimic natural water flow, and the warmer summers.
We're starting to see in late summer moss and various other plant life in the river that we never used to see, and consequently we're seeing more bug life. You know, there's a lot of mayfly hatches that we never used to see.
Aquatic ecologist Clint Mulfeld with the U.S. Geological Survey says it makes sense to see some recreational fishing improve in the short term in the cold rivers surrounding Glacier Park. He says guides may be seeing longer seasons with an earlier spring runoff. However, he says climate change is altering the ecology of streams at different rates. He says rain events on winter snowpack and floods adversely affect the rivers, and a shrinking snowpack means less and less water sooner as summer progresses. Mulfeld gives another example of a change in the system in the growth of an algal species called didymo, or rock snot. Mulfeld says about 55% of Glacier's streams now contain didymo.
With rising temperatures and reduction in these flushing flows, we're actually seeing didymo on the rise in a lot of these major rivers, and that creates all these really condensed mats that actually suffocate the bottom of stream beds and dramatically alter the aquatic invertebrate communities there.
Mulfeld studies native bull trout and West Slope cutthroat trout in the crown of the continent. He says streams in the greater Flathead area have been somewhat buffered from some of the effects of climate change because the glacier-fed waters stay colder than in other parts of the state. However, he also says this area is seeing some rapid change, with air temperatures increasing 2 to 3 times the global rate.
I think, you know, Glacier National Park is iconic of the combined influence of climate change-induced glacier loss and snow loss. I mean, we had 150 glaciers at the end of the last little ice age, around 1850. Now there's 25 left, and they're predicted to be gone by 2030.
Stoneman says he's never measured a 70-degree water temperature on the Middle Fork or North Fork of the Flathead River, where he guides. 70 degrees is considered a critical temperature for trout. He says he usually measures temperatures around 65 degrees, but has seen temperatures up to 69 degrees. Mulfeld says the concern is that temperatures will reach a critical tipping point where the water heats up to a degree that's too hot for the fish and they die.
We're just not seeing that yet, but all indications are that these areas are changing, temperatures are rising, the hydrology is changing, and that is an indirect relation to global climate warming and the loss of our snowpack and glacier-fed mountain streams.
Stoneman says he's seen negative effects through wildfire and lower stream flows, and the long-term warming trend is something that needs to be reversed.
I think there's probably been some catastrophic events in the past, giant volcanic action or whatever, that probably have put more pollution in the air than we do, but, you know, still it's not good that man is adversely affecting the climate.
The Middle Fork and North Fork of the Flathead River join the South Fork before flowing south to Flathead Lake. The Flathead River meanders out of the lake and through the Flathead Reservation at Kerr Dam. The water here is warmer, warm enough this past summer to close the river to anglers.
I don't recall that many times when we've had to actually ask people not to fish.
Mike Durglow runs the Environmental Division of the Natural Resources Department for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes. He recently completed a climate change strategic plan the tribes intend to use to guide management in forestry, agriculture, fish and wildlife, water and air quality, and public health. The plan holds that inaction on climate change would have negative social, environmental, cultural, and economic consequences for the future.
The whole, it's kind of difficult to say what the whole plan is about. To me, it's a survival plan. You know, traditionally, the tribal people handed down stories of life ways, and that's what taught the children how to live or how to survive.
Durglow says the way this knowledge is being passed on is changing. He also co-chairs the National Tribal Science Council, which last year identified climate change and traditional ecological knowledge as top priorities for tribes in the U.S. Durglow says the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes set priorities for wildlife and land to protect by surveying Natural Resource Department heads and tribal elders. They identified bull trout and West Slope cutthroat trout as top priorities for conservation efforts, not only because of their vulnerability in the face of warming waters, but also for their cultural significance.
So we depended on the fish. All three tribes, the Salish, the Ponderay, and the Kootenai, depended on fish for their lives at certain times of the year.
Information and education specialist Jermaine White says the tribes have a management focus on encouraging native species.
Bull trout are like the grizzly bear of water. They need big, clean, complex, cold, connected water in order to survive. The water had been damaged. The watershed had been damaged by construction, by logging, by irrigation, transportation infrastructure development, by construction, both residential and commercial. So there have been tremendous impacts on the water.
White says bull trout are an important player in tribal history.
We never had stories of starvation winters because we're ecotone people. We're people that live where at the backbone of the world where the water begins. And not only were we bison hunters, but we were also anglers, skilled anglers, and we knew where bull trout were, this high-quality, easily available source of protein.
White says the tribes have been ticking off watershed restoration projects across the reservation. Durglow says incorporating climate change considerations into management practices means looking at ways to cool off warmer waters. Restoration projects on creeks and rivers create shaded areas and deep pools. Durglow says the tribes will adapt. They have been for 1,000 years.
I believe that it's the Indian people, the indigenous people, who have the connection to the land that are kind of going to be the leaders in, I don't know if you'd call it saving the world, but at least showing the way.
Mulfeld says there are steps that can be taken on the local level in the face of global climate change. He says native fish have adapted to persist through cataclysmic events through the centuries. They just need to be given a chance.
There is hope. All the pieces are pretty much here in the Flathead. Being one of kind of the last of the best and the crown of the continent, we have intact habitat, connected, cold, clean, and complex areas where these bull trout and cutthroat persist.
Habitat restoration projects like the tribes have been pursuing are one way to help decrease the vulnerability of the threatened fish. Mulfeld says efforts to reduce the stress of competition, crossbreeding, and predation by non-native species like lake trout and rainbow trout, and restoring and reconnecting streams and waterways help build up the resiliency of native fish species so they can better adapt to a changing climate. Katrin Fry reporting from the Flathead.